Hello, Tess. Hello, world. I'm Greg Button. It's a Tuesday. News, information, and comment coming right up. And here's a challenge for this Tuesday. You know, there is someone somewhere depending on you to do what God has called you to do. Yeah, God's got a purpose and a plan for you. Are you applying that to your life, my friend? As you think about today, pray about that one and see, God, exactly what are you depending on me to do? Come to America, worship freely. Try that someplace else. Like Pakistan, two brothers, Quasar Amun Ayub, were accused in 2011 of posting material offensive to Islam on their website and subsequently were sent to a prison in 2015. Quasar testified that he had shut down the offending website back in 2009, but that a Muslim acquaintance of his had resurrected the site, keeping the copyright in Quasar's name. On December the 13th, the judge heard the case, actually in the prison for security reasons, and there he declared the brothers guilty and sentenced them to death. The men are both married, and Quasar is the father of three children. Christians, gonna die in Pakistan. Here in America, oh, you're a Muslim? Attack those Christians, even like the Vice President of the United States. And let's talk about that for a moment. A Muslim Democrat elected to Congress just last month from the state of Minnesota has gone to social media to mock the Christian faith of Pence. Representative-elect Ian Omar posted an image of Pence with his eyes closed during the Oval Office meeting Tuesday. President Trump, House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, and Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. While the other three were arguing about the need to protect the nation's southern border, Pence was there quiet. The congresswoman, who's been accused of lying to voters, captured the image of Pence with a snarky comment, "Jesus, take the wheel." At Jihad Watch, Robert Spencer wrote, "Just imagine now, just imagine the establishment media uproar that would happen if Pence had mocked Omar's faith." But in this case, leftist journalists will join in with Omar and mock the vice president themselves. It's all about fairness in the new America. Yeah, it's pretty good here compared to other places. Bad news last night in Chicago. Two Chicago police officers fatally struck by a train in the city's far south side Monday night while responding to calls about shots fired near the railroad tracks. Officers Eduardo Marmaja, 36, Conrad Gary, 31, were conducting surveillance on the city's far south side when they were hit just after 6 o'clock last night, according to the Chicago Tribune. They were both fathers, both had young children. Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel told the public that they were young officers, one man having 2.5 years on the force, the other only 18 months. The police chief saying, "I'm deeply saddened by this tragic event and ask that everyone keep their families and co-workers in their thoughts and prayers." Former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn is scheduled to be sentenced today for pleading guilty to lying to FBI officials in the Russia investigation as an outrage over alleged wrongdoing in his questioning by FBI and Justice Department investigators is continuing to grow today. Flynn's attorneys have claimed in recent days that he was pressured, that's the operative word, pressured into talking to the FBI without having a lawyer. That led to U.S. District Court Emmett Sullivan ordering a special counsel there, Robert Mueller, to turn over all the government's documents and memorandum related to Flynn's questioning. Some experts and lawmakers have predicted Flynn's guilty plea will be tossed altogether. Mueller has recommended a lenient sentence for Flynn. What time is it? Time to do something, they say. The White House has been insisting that Congress provide $5 billion to build that wall along the U.S.-Mexico border despite lawmaker resistance from both parties. Without a resolution, parts of the federal government set to shut down midnight this Friday. And there's some things in the work by Republicans to try to convince President Trump that a short-term spending bill is better than shutting everything down. That would give Trump the opportunity to fight next year over the wall. I'm not sure that will sell. Some in the White House's legislative affairs shop are coming to Capitol Hill to discuss those options, although multiple Republican sources on Capitol Hill say they're just running out of time. Again, what time is it? James Comey, wow, he took on the Republicans, he took on Fox News. You do realize they're about the only conservative news source out there today. Anyway, he took them on Monday after exiting what he described as a frustrating closed-door session, a hearing there. His second Capitol Hill appearance this month, when he was called to answer some questions on the Russia and Hillary Clinton email probes. Someday, they'll have to explain to their grandchildren what they did today, Comey said. Other Republicans of the two House committees that conducted the interviews, accusing them of not defending the FBI from the president. Republicans, for their part, have accused Comey of not being forthcoming, and I think that is probably more true than the former. What's happening on Wall Street? Going to brace for another potential bad day today after U.S. stocks closed sharply lower yesterday, deepening annual losses ahead of the final Federal Reserve policy meeting of the year. And amid continued worries about the impact of a trade war with China may have on the U.S. economy. So you heard about the thing with the president, that Green Beret? President Trump has been accused by some critics of trying to influence the outcome of a case involving a decorated Green Beret accused of murder in the death of a Taliban bomb maker. By announcing his decision to review the case via Twitter, some critics say that President Trump is wielding his presidential influence. However, General Anthony Tata, retired Brigadier General of the United States Army who served as Secretary of Transportation of North Carolina under Governor Pat McCrory, says the president's actions are indeed justified. Tata writes that President Trump is perfectly within his legal authority to assert that he will review that case of that West Point graduate and special forces. That's Major Matthew Goldstein, who is charged with murdering a Taliban bomb maker in Afghanistan in 2010. So you're working 9 to 5, huh? Dreams of doing just that, 9 to 5 workdays, 5 days a week, with weekends off, going to be a thing of the past, according to billionaire Richard Branson. In a blog post, the Virgin Group founder wrote that the way we all work is changing due to the rise of technology, and it's all good news. The amount of jobs available for people is going to decrease as technology increases. So, wrote Mr. Branson, citing such innovations as driverless cars, advanced drones, and even pilotless airplanes as an example. And on the face of all of this, says Branson, this sounds like bad news for people. However, if governments and businesses are clever, the advance of technology could actually be a really positive thing for people all over the world. So what do you think about that judge in Texas, that federal judge? He's brought long overdue clarity to our interminable debate over health care reform. Last Friday, District Court Judge Reed O'Connor struck down Obamacare in its entirety, arguing that the individual mandate, the part of the law that forces Americans to buy insurance or pay a penalty, is unconstitutional. Duh. Who didn't know that from the start? Because O'Connor ruled that the mandate can't be separated from the rest of the health care law, he invalidated the whole thing. This should be interesting. And New York says, enough, Target, enough, Walmart, and the importer LaRose Industries for allegedly selling a toy jewelry kit containing lead levels up to 10 times higher than the federal limit, according to the Attorney General. Authorities allege that those retailers and importers committed deceptive acts, false advertising, and thousands of violations of state laws related to selling hazardous toys when they imported and sold thousands of crazy Jules jewelry-making kits between 2015 and 2016. Hey, what's the big deal? Those things were in the trash just hours after they were... Oh, never mind. More news right after this. So, how's your prayer life? The Savior was devoted to prayer. He met with God in the early morning hours, sought him in the midst of busy days, and slipped away for nighttime fellowship with the Father. His actions testify to the central place prayer is to have in the life of a believer. Prayer seemed to come naturally to Jesus, but most of us have to work to maintain regular communion with God. We find ourselves easily distracted by the details of life, our own desires, and the demands of other people. The road to a deepening prayer life begins with a firm commitment to develop the habit of talking with God and make it a high priority every day. We follow through by setting aside a daily time for reading and prayer and identifying a location that minimizes all those interruptions. Since we are already busy, sacrifice will be necessary to make this happen. We might have to accept maybe less sleep, give up a favorite activity, or maybe use our lunch hour in order to pray. If you're a busy parent, maybe you have to ask a friend to help with the children to have some time alone with God. You know, another key factor is the Bible, Scripture. It must undergird your prayer life. The Bible teaches us about God's character and His promises and His priorities. It turns our thoughts from worldly cares and pleasures to focus on God. Through the Word, we're reminded of His importance to us and our desire to please Him. Then we become ready to ask in accordance with His will and hear what He has to say. Evaluate your prayer life today and commit to improving at least one area of it. Well, the governor of New York, Andrew M. Cuomo, has announced, he said, basically, let's break out the pot. Come on! Well, he's going to push to legalize recreational marijuana next year, a move that could bring in more than $1.3 billion in revenue annually and put New York in line with several neighboring states. The governor yesterday gave his most forceful support of legalizing marijuana yet, completing a dramatic shift for a governor who called marijuana's gateway drug as recently as, well, just last year. Oh, how we change our minds, right? So what do you think about rap? Rap music, as they call it. It's not music, but that's for a different time and place. The explosion of this stuff in Russia has spurred the president there, Vladimir Putin, to call for cultural leaders, did this over the weekend, to devise a means of controlling its role for youth. And that culture, instead of just an outright ban, saying it otherwise will lead to the decay of the nation. Well, of course it will. It's happening here. The Russian leader made those comments during a meeting in St. Petersburg, where he told cultural leaders that they must come up with some way to lead it, the rap, and direct it. Putin noted that rap is based on three pillars. Well, all that music is. Rock music, I did that for years, talked about it. Sex, drugs, protest, or rebellion. But he's particularly concerned with the drug themes prevalent in rap, saying, this is a path to degradation of a nation. Well, I'm ready to amen Mr. Putin, aren't you? It's true. And while we're on teens, let's come back to America here. Teenage vaping. Do you know what that is? Where you have that mist, different flavors. Two biggest, I think, are blue and Juul. Juul's number one in the country of vaping. 1.3 million more kids are now vaping. It's 85% of teenagers. Can that be right? At any age can get a hold of these cigarette replacements. Many kids, 7, 8 years of age now vaping. Says it calms them down, but many of the kids come for the cool and stay for the buzz. Isn't that sad? And while the whole idea is the non-nicotine thing, it's all a ruse. This stuff is just as dangerous in the end. But they don't look at it as cigarettes. Isn't it amazing how you could, a man is what he thinks about all day long, so the mind is tricked into thinking, this is not like cigarettes at all. This is safe. It is not. So I wonder what it's like. You think that, well, tomorrow I'll have $120 million in my bank account, and then you find out I'm getting nothing. CBS announced yesterday that former CEO Les Moonves will not receive his $120 million severance package after the board of directors concluded he violated company policy and was uncooperative with an investigation into sexual misconduct allegations. The decision, which came after a 5-month outside investigation, capped the downfall of one of television's most influential figures ever, the biggest entertainment power broker to see his career derailed amid that Me Too movement against sexual misconduct. Life is strange sometimes, isn't it? 120 million. Well, that's a bundle. The Transportation Safety Administration says it's a bunch millions. If you're hankering to be one of those among the millions this Christmas season, do not bother with the shopping malls. Just head right to the airport now, where nearly 46 million people will mix travel with anxiety, with Christmas anxiety, that is, and just a tad of family get-together anxiety to create a merry little stew of emotions. This sounds terrible. It's supposed to be a great time. The projected number of people who plan to fly between Thursday and January the 6th is up more than 5% over last year. That's an increase of 126,000 passengers a day. After the busiest Thanksgiving air travel period on record, airlines have promised to work with the TSA to get people to their flights on time. Let's talk about the name of Jesus right after this break. You're listening to Hello World, and where would Hello World be without you? Off the air. We couldn't continue. Several hours a day, putting together news, information, and comment, and sharing it on this Christian radio station. And because of you and your generosity helping us out, oh, it works. Get in touch. Greg Patton Ministries. You can go to gregpatton.com. Over the years, God has been generous. Recently, a used automobile given to Greg Patton Ministries. Some of you support us $10 a month, $25, $50 a month. We are extremely grateful for that, my friend. You never know. Someday you tune in and we're not here. Again, thank you for praying for us, telling others about the broadcast, your encouraging words. I mean, they are fantastic, and I get excited every time you get in touch. So continue to pray for Hello World, Greg Patton Ministries, and our church, The Cross, in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And we'll be careful to thank you again in advance. Well, we talked yesterday about being famous and pretty much determined, you and I, not one of those people. Just a handful of the 30 billion people that have ever been on the face of the earth since the beginning of time. And how does one get to the top? And who is at the top? We also determined that that was, of course, Jesus Christ, an amazing person. When he spoke, he never spoke at one time to more than a few thousand people, but my goodness, in 36 months, a ministry that goes on today, books written, art, videos, all the things all about Jesus Christ, whose birth we are celebrating this month, by the way. Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as Savior? That's how we ended yesterday. Let me say again, in his lifetime, his influence at that moment was very, very small. But if you take the recent edition of the Encyclopedia Britannica, open it up to Jesus, Google Jesus, you'll find more than 30,000 words on this one man, the Lord Jesus Christ. The great historian Kenneth Scott Lord Tay said, and I want you to listen to this quote, listen to it, "Jesus has had more effect on the history of mankind than any other of its race who ever existed." Jesus. Want to hear it again? "Jesus has had more effect on the history of mankind than any other of its race who ever existed." I want to say to every educator that might be listening, how can any child be educated who doesn't know about Jesus Christ, who has affected the human race like he has? Like it or not, friend, Jesus Christ is one man in 30 billion, and he is absolutely totally unique. You know, Adrian Rogers ministered in Tennessee for so many years, and at one time he shared about a bronze Bible in the lobby. The Bible is open there, and on that bronze Bible is written the tribute to Jesus by the former pastor of this church. One of our former pastors said, Rogers, Dr. Robert G. Lee. This is what he said about Jesus Christ. It's on the Bible. You ought to take your children out there. You ought to read it to them and talk to them about it. Here's what it says. Jesus Christ, Son of Man, without sin, Son of God, without power, literature's loftiest ideal, philosophy's highest personality, criticism's most supreme problem, theology's fundamental doctrine, Christianity's cardinal necessity, heaven's bread for earth's hunger, heaven's water for earth's thirst, heaven's glory for earth's shame, heaven's grace for earth's guilt, heaven's hope for earth's despair, heaven's love for earth's hate, heaven's peace for earth's strife, heaven's forgiveness for earth's sins, heaven's life for earth's death. That's who Jesus is. Can I have your attention for just a minute here? To explain Jesus Christ today is impossible. To ignore him, however, is disastrous, and to reject him is the most fatal mistake you will ever make in your lifetime. I'm talking to you about Jesus Christ. And let me say, on the other hand, to know him is to love him. To love him is to believe on him. And to believe on him is to be saved. And to be saved is to be radically and dramatically transformed from, well, this time and all eternity. You know, I really feel so inadequate talking on this radio show today because human speech is too limited to describe the Lord Jesus. The human mind is too finite to comprehend him. And the human heart is just too small to contain this one we call Jesus Christ. And in the scripture that we've read already, did that yesterday from Colossians 1, 15 through 21, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Colossians 1, 19. You know, that's a great verse. The word fullness, what does it mean? It means the sum total of all that is Jesus Christ. And the word dwell does not mean simply to abide, but it means to settle down permanently. All that is and all that will ever be is in that one wonderful name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that fantastic? So we're getting ready to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, Christmas. Let me give you a verse, Psalm 89, verse 27. It speaks of Solomon. And David says of Solomon, also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. Psalm 89, 27. Now, Solomon was not David's firstborn son. David had many sons before he had Solomon. But what David is talking about here is he is one of the highest rank. And that's what God talks about. Jesus Christ outranks, outreaches, outloves all others that have ever been on the face of this earth. He has the name that's above every name. He is the firstborn. Let me ask you, do you know this Jesus when we celebrate his birth? Do you know him? Have you ever trusted Jesus Christ as Savior? Why not call upon him today? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You need to be saved today, my friend. Ask God to forgive you of your sin. Want to know more? Get in touch with me, gregpatton.com. Yeah. Or contact this local Christian radio station. Ask someone, how can I be saved? Oh, this will be the greatest day of your life if you get saved. I love it. And finally, I've been hanging around here a long time, not only on the radio, but at my church. And here's a question that I get all the time. Pastor Patton, how long have you been at your church? Well, God allowed us to found that church about 31 years ago, and we have been at it ever since. Well, how do you stay there? How do the people tolerate you that long? That's a good one, tolerate. You know, I found out that if you tuck one part of your pant leg into your socks, people expect a whole lot less of you. That's my secret, and I'm sticking to it. Thanks, my friend, for listening to Hello World. Yeah, I mean, it's good to have you here each day at this time. Tell someone about it. Join me on Facebook, please. I need a friend. Greg Patton. God bless.